Well, happy Thursday. Hope you had a good week thus far. A little bit of rain out there, some falling temperatures, starting to feel like wintertime, which is appropriate since, after all, it is the end of January. And welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Good to have you at the other end of the radio waves and, of course, the telephone lines and the cybernetic connection and all the other ways we have of getting together here electronically. 414-1234 is the local number here in Tallahassee. If it's long distance, twixt you and us, it's 800-926-8800. Email perspectives at WFSU.org. And if you want to tweet us, all right, at WFSU Perspective is the way you do that. Soon after President John F. Kennedy took office back in 1961, his sister, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, launched a crusade to kind of change the way the world treated, I guess we should say more accurately, ignored the question of mental retardation. And a big part of this motivation was the fact that Rosemary Kennedy had developmental challenges herself. Now, back during the 1960s, Eunice helped spearhead landmark legislation that dealt with developmental issues and disability rights and that kind of thing. And eventually, Eunice and her husband, Sergeant Shriver, started a summer camp in the backyard of their Maryland home right outside of Washington, D.C. And that led to the very first International Special Olympics Games at Soldier Field in Chicago in the summer of 1968. And since then, Special Olympics has grown to become really the largest program of its kind. So we thought we would talk about not so much the National Special Olympics movement, but what's going on here in Leon County, which has a really active Special Olympics program and a lot of community partners and a lot of excitement and thrills. And we're heading really into the Special Olympics season right now. We wanted to let you know about that and get your input as well as we go through this edition of Perspectives. So here with us to talk about Special Olympics, the Leon County variety, is Danielle, Leon County's sports coordinator, intern and president for FSU's Special Olympics. And welcome, Danielle. Good to have you.
Hi, thank you.
Right next door to you is Doug Essick. He is a Special Olympics partner, new unified Leon County Special Olympics partner, right?
Oh, yeah.
And a Pi Kappa kind of guy too, right?
Yes.
We also have a number of athletes that are joining us today. Albert Dorsey is a Special Olympian, and he is here. Didn't bring your medal though, man. What happened?
Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's okay. It's radio. They can't see it anyway, but we can talk about it in a minute, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's great to have you here, Albert. It really is. And kind of making this all happen is our a special volunteer for FSU's Special Olympics, and also, in full disclosure, a staff member here at WFSU, Paul Mazenko. And Paul, thanks for setting this up, man.
Thank you, Tom.
Let's talk a little bit about your involvement here in Special Olympics. How did you get into this thing?
I was in the Army getting ready to get out and happened to answer the phone the one day when Special Olympics Kentucky was calling us. And I went to their state meet in 2014, and moving to Tallahassee, I was like, I want to get involved more. So I showed up to flag football with Albert and all the athletes. I mean, they're like family to it. They welcomed me right in, and I wanted more and more. I wanted to keep doing it.
Okay, and Albert, have you been tempted to throw him out since he got involved, or is he a pretty good guy? You want to keep him around?
He's a pretty good guy. I can keep him around. You know what I mean? Like, he's a very special person. I like to have him around. Keep pushing. He pushes all of us, you know what I mean? Make sure that all of us is, you know what I'm saying, doing the things that we're supposed to do as far as practicing and staying out of trouble and be positive on things.
Well, there you go. Talk about your Special Olympics experience. When did you get involved in this?
Oh, man. I got involved when I was in middle school. And I got to middle school, and then they were telling me about this Special Olympics program. And I was like, yeah, I want to do it. You know what I mean? Because I always like to do sports. So I was like, yeah, I want to do it. And, of course, we were going out of town, too. So that was kind of a fun thing. You know what I mean? So as I was going along and whatnot, you know what I mean, I didn't even think about the time while I was doing it. You know what I mean? I just, next time I lift my head up, it was 10 years later, I'm still doing it. And I was just like, man, it's just amazing how, you know what I'm saying, I can have an inspiration on other athletes too about the whole program and whatnot. You know what I mean? I like helping other, you know what I'm saying, athletes too, you know what I'm saying, pushing them to be better.
There you go, because you got the experience. You have the background to take in, you know, some younger folks and say, hey, here's what it's about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah. Danielle, talk about your background here in Special Olympics.
I got involved in 2014 as well. Actually, a grad student at Florida State and getting my master's in sports management. And I wanted to really get involved. I moved down here not knowing anyone or anything, so I really wanted to get involved. I joined a club at School Sports Management Student Association, and their yearly project is to help out and volunteer at Special Olympics. So my first meeting, I grabbed a paper and I went out to flag football. That was my first experience with them, and asked about basketball. That's my major sport, and ever since then I've been involved. And after about a month or two into it, I was like, this is what I want to do. Has my two passions of sports and helping others, and 3 months later I ended up with an internship with them. So I've been involved. I absolutely love it.
So. God, that's terrific, as well as the involvement that you have there with the FSU Special Olympics program too.
Yeah, I'm the vice president of the Special Olympics outreach at Florida State University, so we definitely try to help out where we can with Leon County's Special Olympics program.
Okay. Paul, you're a partner. What does that mean? What does that entail? I'm sorry, Doug.
Yeah. So a partner is – there's two parts of it. I can coach when I need to, but I'm also a unified partner. So I work and play with a team. So when it comes to basketball, there's three Special Olympics players, and then there's two unified partners. So we get on the court and we play with them, and we play 100% with them. There's no time at all where we – don't try our hardest. And when we go out there, we make sure that they get at least 75% of the points, or we get 25% of the points, in order to make it so it's fair for everyone. And we do that for basically every sport. This upcoming semester, I'm going to be playing tennis and golf with them as well.
Oh, okay. So yeah. That is an instructional kind of thing as well as a participatory
exactly, yeah.
Thing. Paul, how many folks involved in the program here in Leon County? When you're talking athletes, I know there's so many partners and other helpmates with the effort here, but several hundred or what?
It's over 120 because that's how many I've met. And I know I've met not even probably half of our athletes total because I don't know any of the school-aged.
Yeah, I was going to say we have the school-based and the community-based programs.
Community-based alone is a little over 100 athletes.
Wow, okay. And we're talking an age range of what here, from bottom end to?
The school age starts, I believe, at 6, and then it runs through our adult program where some of them are
like 51, 56. Yeah, older.
Yeah. Okay, well, Albert, since you are kind of the seasoned veteran to a lot of young people, what do you tell them? What kind of advice and wisdom do you give them when they get into the program?
Oh, well, I just give them the simple advice as, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're here, we're having fun, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Just push everybody to being better or whatnot because, you know what I'm saying, you have some athletes out there who say they can't do things. And then, I push them. Well, I tell them to push them. Well, you want to push them in the right direction as far as they can do anything. You know what I mean? Because I used to say that when I was younger myself. And I always realized, and my teacher always told me in middle school, don't say you can't do it. You know what I mean? You can always do what you want to do. The sky's the limit.
Well, that's got to be a huge part of this, too, because it's not just you love the sports and the activity, but it's pushing yourself as far as you can go, right?
Yes, sir. You know what I mean? So I push my far as I can go, and like I say, the sky's the limit. And I just push everyone, you know what I mean? Like if anyone who want to get involved, I try to get some of my friends to volunteer, help out or whatever, do whatever, you know what I mean? Like it's all there. Come.
Yeah, but you're the example. You kind of set the tone and the pace for a lot of this.
Yeah, I try not to, you know what I'm saying, be out in front like that because I don't want everybody to think, oh, you know what I mean? I'm the best, you know what I mean? It could be somebody out there better than me, you know what I'm saying? I try to look at everyone as the same, you know what I mean? Don't look at me any different, you know what I mean?
Success stories, Danielle. I'm sure that you have seen at least a couple, three situations where folks come in where, as Albert was saying, they don't have a lot of self-confidence. They don't have maybe even any real skills in this, but they get involved, they move it to the next level, and suddenly you see changes, positive changes, right?
Yeah, I mean, all the time, every practice, you see that grow as a team, they grow individually. It's just an awesome experience for them to come out and grow. I mean, that's what Special Olympics is, helps them with life skills and also to grow, what's the word I'm looking for? Be able to communicate with others. They just learn a lot of skills with Special Olympics, but they do grow every practice, every day, working with the coaches, other athletes, and the volunteers.
But it's not all about winning. That, hey, I've got the best time. I've got, man, I can lift the most weight, whatever that is.
Right, right. It's definitely not all about winning. We try to, I guess, try to teach that. It's not all about winning. It's just coming out, having fun, getting better, growing as a person, individually and as a team with your others. I mean, like he said, he's been in for over 10 years, so he's known the same people for over 10 years now. So they create that bond on and off the field or court, whatever sport it is.
Mm-hmm. Doug, your experiences there too in seeing what's going on with the transformative power of Special Olympics when it comes to the athletes and of course the organizers too, because I see you guys, I see big smiles, I see positive outlooks, and I talked to Paul, of course, who works here, and then he's telling me all these wonderful things where he has seen people that are just completely transformed and changed and become far more confident and together people overall.
Yeah. So not only is it the athletes that are gaining confidence, it's us as volunteers, us as coaches that are gaining confidence. We go out there and we're coaching them and they're doing exactly what they need to do and they're even exceeding our expectations. And we see them growing from each day. And they become less of athletes and then become more our friends. Mm-hmm. And we become more their mentors and they start to look up to us. And when that happens, it changes our lives. More than it changes anyone else's lives. So when you have that impact of one of the athletes looking up to you and telling their parents that all they do is talk about you in basketball aspects, it's an amazing feeling. So it uplifts us and hopefully it uplifts them as well, because I can't speak on behalf of them.
Ah. Hey, if you have any experience with Special Olympics, any questions, any comments about the program, that's what we're talking about here today on Perspectives. And as always, you are a vital part of the entire proceeding. 414-1234 is the telephone number here in the Tallahassee area. It's 800-926-8809 if long distance, or if you care to send us an email, that's perspectives@wfsu.org. And we'll be right back. Few things in life are more special than the Special Olympics, and if you're unfamiliar with that program, it's been going on, boy, since the days of President Kennedy, and I can recall just how physically fit we all wanted to be under that administration, because the president challenged all of us to become just healthier and more vibrant and more full of vigor. Which was his favorite word in a lot of his speeches. So we were doing things like going out in high school and walking for 26 miles and crazy stuff like that. And then Eunice Kennedy Shriver created a program that became then the Special Olympics in the late 60s. And it just took off and has become just a national phenomenon. For local events here for the Leon County Special Olympics, Paul Mazenko, what's going on there? What's our schedule looking like here over the next several months, just in general?
Staying local to it, we have our Mariah Harrison Invitational, which is a soccer invitational based on a former Unified partner who had passed away in a rollover accident. So this will be the fifth year with it. So it's going to be our biggest one we've done yet based on, you know, the five-year mark. And that is February 28th.
1-5 at Leon County – or Leon High School.
And that'll have some of our school-age programs come in. Wakulla County will send one of their soccer teams over to it. And then our community program will have, I believe, both of our soccer teams there as well.
Okay. Now, beyond soccer, of course, there's a lot of things. Of course, basketball. There's mm-hmm. the man. Albert's the basketball specialist here. But it's a whole bunch of different activities, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
All right. And it's unlike the regular Olympics here. Do people specialize, or do you try to get a variety of activities going You don't just do basketball, right?
No,
right,
sir.
Okay. What are your other favorites in the lineup here?
My favorites?
Yeah.
I do football. I do track. I do softball. And what else? That's pretty much it.
Pretty much it. But you've won some awards, though, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What medals did you get?
I never got over third.
Over third, but that's okay.
I always got 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. Okay. All right. You know, you will have a wall of fame at the house, right, where you can put that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So beyond soccer, basketball, track, what else do we have, guys?
We have getting ready to come up, actually, starting February 14th. Spring sports or summer?
Summer sports.
Summer sports. We'll have soccer. We'll have track and field. We'll have tennis. Swimming. We'll have bocce.
Swimming, yeah.
Cycling. Mm-hmm. We have swimming. But those are the sports that are coming up now. But basically every sport, really, that you can think of, we offer.
You have not lived until you see a bocce tournament. I mean, yeah. That is unusual, particularly for the Deep South. You don't see a lot of bocce down here, but that's a very big deal up north, particularly in New England. A lot of bocce players, some of them 70-plus in age. Very, very, very big deal there. For Unified volunteers there, Doug, what's beyond the coaching and the other thing? Do you also go out and try to find other community partners to get involved in this whole thing to provide more support for Special Olympics? Or?
Yeah. Currently, we're actually trying to get more involved with FSU. We try and get booths set up and all that, getting more people active in our community, at the FSU community. We're also trying to get more involved with Florida State intramural sports, maybe trying to get them linked in with Special Olympics. We got to find a way to link that together. But besides that, we're always trying to get more volunteers in. The more, the better.
And if anyone would hear this and think, boy, that's something I'd kind of like to get behind, is there a Facebook page, website? What Danielle? What do you got?
Yeah, the vice president of the club I'm with, Special Olympics Outreach at FSU, we actually have a Facebook page. It's called Special Olympics Outreach at FSU. And if you join that, we have to, like, approve you first, like when you send a request. But we'll approve you. We put all of our announcements up there for practices, any events that we have, any fundraisers, anything like that. You know, if practices cancel, we put a lot of our announcements up there. So if you do want to get involved, I definitely would advise you to join.
Well, support not limited just to our institutions of higher learning here. Paul Mazenko, I know that law enforcement, big supporter of Special Olympics programs, right?
Yes. They do a lot of the tip-a-cop, even doing the torch run and that. So, but to piggyback off what they said, sorry going back on it, the Leon County, the community program and the school base, we also have a Facebook page just for that. So it's not only the college students that we want to come out. Anyone in the, you know, the community, we would love to have out there. And it's a simple, you show up and we always have the forms available to fill out then to volunteer with us.
And what would be a typical thing? You know, I go through that vetting process there and get the forms filled out and I show up at an event. What happens then? What do you need me to do?
Depending on what, like if you come out for our spring, summer sports, the ones we have like four activities, you pick the sport you want to be out there with. And then it's finding one athlete that's going to touch you and, you know, that hits your heart and you're going to go to them and you just bond with them. And eventually, the more you come out is when you'll get with all the athletes. You don't want to go into the first practice going, I need to talk to all 15 of you. You want to find the one that makes you want to stay. And once you have that feeling and you're like, I never want to leave Special Olympics, then all the other athletes will come to you. And that's when you branch out.
Oh, okay. Well, Albert Dorsey, you are now kind of a mentor for a lot of folks. But when you were starting, was there any particular person who really touched you and took you under their wing and said, hey, Let me show you where it's at.
That actually, like, touched me. It was a couple of people, whatnot. You know what I mean? Know what I'm saying? I had one actual student. Know what I'm saying? I actually went to school with, and he was in the Special Olympics. And know what I mean? Like, he always told me that he couldn't do something, and I was like, no, it's not. Know what I'm saying? You can always do what you want to do. You know what I mean? So I pushed him into doing whatever you want to do. And then, you know what I'm saying, when he smiles and look at me and tell me thank you and this and that, I just be like, that just hit my heart, you know what I mean? Like, so that just make me want to even do it even more, you know what I mean? Like, get involved with everyone,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Paul said, once you, know what I'm saying, have that one touch on someone, and then the longer you be in it, everybody, you'll get to know everybody, and then, You be have a hands on everybody.
So you're getting as much out of this as you're given, if not more, right?
Yes, sir.
There you go. George joins us here on Line 1 on Perspectives. Hey, George, good to hear from you. How you doing?
Okay, Tom. I just wanted to know is do you guys have any involvement with the Florida Disabled Outdoors Association at all?
Good question. Let's go around. Any involvement there with that group, Danielle?
Not to my knowledge.
Doug?
Not as far as I know.
Do you know?
I don't think we do, but it's something that if we don't...
We can always get involved.
And it would be nice to... It's another thing in the community that you can bring in and, you know, widen the exposure.
Yeah, because I'm sure that there are... Since the founding principle of Special Olympics was on folks with developmental challenges, there are... I mean, disability covers a wide range, and as George would probably indicate, whether you have a visual challenge or like you have a hearing situation there, Albert, right?
Yes, sir.
You're dealing with. Okay. So there are all kinds of different challenges that people have, and the Special Olympics is open there to what specific people? I mean, is there a qualification for that, or how does someone actually become a Special Olympics athlete? I see people pointing at each other. You take it. No, you take it.
To be the Special Olympics athlete is a mental disability based. So it's not just it's not a physical disability. Some of the athletes will have them. And that's not a qualifier, though. It has to be something that's mental based, where it's a learning disability.
Yeah, primarily developmental disability then on that. But that has, as we said at the outset of the program, something that for many, many years nobody talked about this.
Yes.
And it was a stigma and just horrible. And you, if there was anyone in your family, you never let them out of the house. I mean, it was a terrible thing. And we've come a long way.
I'm glad I was not alive for that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember when that was the norm. You didn't want people to know. And it was a matter of shame and family honor was at stake and all that. And it was just a totally different time. And to have this happen here back in the early 60s, where the entire attitude towards developmental disabilities and really focusing on the ability of people to do much, much more than even they think, that's important. You've come a long way, Albert.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. So talk about when you got into Special Olympics, what it was like for you then and what it's like for you now.
When I first got into Special Olympics, I was nervous because I didn't know anyone. You know what I mean? So I was just, and I thought that, you know what I'm saying, when I got into Special Olympics, that, like you say, people would talk about, you know what I mean, people being special or whatever, you know what I mean? But after a while, I failed to realize I didn't care about that. You can say whatever you want about me, but this is who I am, you know, and like I say, from the time being there, I'm saying to now, whatnot, it's been a whole good thing for me. You know what I mean? It's actually bringing the truth out of me and who I really am. You know what I mean? Like I said, I like doing the Special Olympics. I love it. You know what I mean? If any of these guys need my help, they know I'm there or whatever.
So. Yeah, it's like you have become the big brother.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And could you imagine 10 years ago being on the radio and talking about this?
Actually, not on the radio, but I was actually, I actually had an interview with the news or whatnot. You know what I mean? I was nervous for that. You know what I mean? And then this was actually when I ran my first track meet at Garvey High School, and I actually kind of fell out. And and they want to interview me after that, and I'm like, I just fell out.
You're an old pro right now, though. You're handling this just super, super well. Daniel, as far as student involvement there, because Doug had mentioned this too, trying to get more involvement on the part of students at FSU and I mean, across the board here in Tallahassee, since we have some, 70,000, you know, students at FSU FAM and TCC as well. Hard sell? Or is that pretty easy to recruit and go out and say, hey, you know, here is something you guys could do that would make a difference in people's lives?
I wouldn't say it's easy. If it was easy, we'd have a whole bunch of people out there. Like you said, we have FSU, FAM, and TCC. I wish we had more people come out. We have the club at Florida State right now. We are trying to branch out to FAMU, but it's a pretty new club on campus. I just try to use my local resources. That's one of my jobs, is to recruit. And like I said, we try to get fraternities and sororities involved, clubs on campus. The one club I'm involved with, a lot of them come out and help. But it's not as easy as you would think. But the people that do come out, they certainly enjoy and they do stick around. So that's always a plus.
Mm-hmm. Well, volunteers, of course, needed.
Yes.
What other resources do you guys need?
Volunteers, really. Unified partners, it just depends on what sport it is, if we need a unified partner or not. Some, like our sports coming up now, we need unified partners for soccer, but not necessarily for track and field or bocce, I don't think.
Bocce, you can use them, and actually the more unified partners we have, I think more athletes would do bocce.
Yeah.
That was the problem last year, is we had two unified partners and six athletes.
Okay.
Whereas this year we should have more.
Okay. And Doug, as a unified partner on this thing too, could even businesses help out, do you think?
I think they can help sponsor it. I think it would be a very good look having them, having businesses on our t-shirts, having businesses sponsor us and having their corporation come out. There's a lot of there's a lot of businesses that help out in the community, and why can't they just come out and help with Special Olympics? I feel like that'd be a great thing for their corporation and also benefit us.
Yeah, certainly, because it's there is a cost that's connected to this. You may have the facilities donated and the volunteer time.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do athletics, you got to have the equipment, right?
Yeah. I mean, so far we are lucky. We have pretty good equipment. We have nice jerseys that we have. We have a nice facility that we play in for basketball. And so far we've been lucky. But, yes, it would be nice to have more generosity from the corporations and local businesses.
Mm-hmm. But back to Paul, if we could, the law enforcement thing there, because we went out to the one event here a couple weekends ago where you had the Tip the Cops event down at Red Robin, and then the torch run, which is always awesome. A lot of people gripe about the fact that, oh, it's messing up our traffic in downtown Tallahassee, but it is one of the most inspirational things to see all of those officers just pouring into the space between the old and the new capitals there in support of Special Olympics program. How does that help the program, Paul?
Well, with our program, we have one paid employee for the entire county. So everything that we get brought in donation-wise, which is what the Tip a Cop is, the Torch Run is, it's a donation to the county, is what funds our athletes, all of our trips. I mean, we have to pay for each athlete to go. There's no cost to any of the athletes. When we take a unified partner down, so like when we go to basketball next weekend, the unified partners don't have an expense. The, you know, athletes don't pay for a single thing, the hotel room, the you know, the buses we have to rent. So all of that money that gets brought in is what allows us to take more athletes the next go round. And if you don't have any donations coming in, then you have to end up telling an athlete that's come to every practice, sorry, we can't afford to take you anywhere. We can't bring you on a trip that you've been working for the last, you know, month, 2 months to get to. The funding with it, and you know, the police officers and that doing the law enforcement is huge. It's a, I want to say, probably about 30-40% of what we have for our yearly donations between all of the major, you know, fundraising they do.
But there's always need for more, and mm-hmm. So that's why I was thinking again for organizations, businesses, whatever, they'd be hearing this and think, boy, that'd be kind of a neat thing. I'd like to help that out. It's welcome. Help. And Albert, you've never had a situation, though, where they said, hey, you've gone as far as you can go. We'd like to, you know, take you on a bus to some other venue to compete, say, in Orlando, but we can't afford it and you can't go. Has that ever happened to you?
No, sir.
Good. Okay. I wanted to clarify that. That would be a heartbreaker, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And how does that work to compete on the local level and then move on to – what, state or regionals or – Danielle, what is it?
Yeah, so they come out first practice or whatever. So right now for basketball, we're getting ready to go to states next weekend actually. You come out, we practice. In the middle of the season, we have something called the area games, which is like the mid-season competition to qualify them to go to states. You have to be at every practice, and you have to play area games to qualify for states. And once you do that, area games, so we're going to states next weekend – they let us know. We get a schedule, and you basically go. States is where you win the medals, you know, first, second, third place. So that's the big competition to end the season. So that's the big one everyone's always excited about because, like Paul said, we get to travel. So next Friday we leave at, like, 6:45 in the morning. You know, you get there, eat lunch, you play your game. You know, they have the opening ceremonies. You have a dance that night. And the next day you get up at 6. You got a game at 8. You know, you got to travel back. So, but it's a lot of fun. That's what all the athletes look forward to is states. That's what it's all about.
And how many people typically show up for something like that? It's got to be huge.
A lot, because you have all the counties there. So it's huge. I don't even know.
Well, there's the major ones are the Fall Classic, which is mm-hmm. in November. And it's the second largest one. And I think this one we had close to in the state was, what, 2,000 or 3,000 athletes. I know the one in May is the largest one for the summer games,
yep.
and that's the one where they meet. They do the final part of the torch run. So they have the police officers from every county in the state of Florida riding their motorcycles into ESPN Wild World of Sports on the baseball field, and they go around the field, and they line it all up. So that's each one of the events is huge. The basketball is split into two halves, so it's the North Florida and the South side of the Florida that meet. So it's a little bit smaller than the other ones, and it's also only one sport.
Yeah, but still, that is a very big deal. That has got to be a real pageant to see all of that mm-hmm. and the officers and the torch run, the athletes marching, and the exciting stuff, Albert.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We're going to take a quick time out as we continue our discussion of the Leon County Special Olympics and its connection to the entire Special Olympics movement here on Perspectives. 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809. It was a long distance twixt you and us, and we'll be right back. Get much more special than the Special Olympics. We're talking about it here today on Perspectives with your input as well. And Greg joins us on the phone. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Doing all right. I had a question about the motivation of the athletes that you see wanting to join your program. I was just curious if you find that the people coming in are looking to improve on maybe already established athletic abilities or this attracts all sorts of people who are maybe just looking to do something new because, you know, you mentioned earlier that you have a lot of a wide variety of sports offered. I'm sure that rings an appeal to try something new.
Sure. Let me run that by the gang here and see what kind of feedback we get here, Greg, as far as the, again, motivation, bringing folks into the program. Doug, what do you think?
That's a great question. So when it comes to Special Olympics, we have all types of levels. When it comes to basketball, we have three different types of levels. We have a team that's all athletes. We have a team that's unified. And then we have we have a team that is only for skills. So it hits every – and then there's three-on-three. I'm sorry about that. And so it hits every single level from the lowest to the highest. And it also is for other sports such as tennis, golf, whatever it is. And basically it's not only for them to sharpen their skills, get better. It's so they can meet other people in the community that have similar disabilities as them and other volunteers that are willing to help. And I think it's a great opportunity for them to spend time where they're not either working because they're not in school anymore and when they're not at home. So they get to go out, meet new people, and have a great time out there.
Okay, because that was what you were talking about too, Albert, was that, you know, you are really gung-ho about a lot of sports, but this whole program goes beyond just dribbling a ball or running the track or those other things that you do. It's more than that.
Yes, it's more than that. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like I said, when I say it's more than that, it's all meaning, you know what I mean? Like, we always – it may be some days where I just come out there and just help others, you know, and – you know, like I said, it's more than, you know what I'm saying, just, you know what I'm saying, dribbling a ball and running track. And it's all about, you know what I'm saying, getting involved with the community and helping the others.
And being a coach to other people.
Yes.
That sounds Coach Dorsey. That has a nice ring to it, you know?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Paul.
I actually like to look at it as, too, a lot of our practices, the sport itself is a very small portion of what we do. Like flag football, because I coached them this year. Our practice, yeah, we practiced on the sport, but about 75% of your practice was more working with the athlete, just making them better as an individual. And then the sport comes secondary. If they drop the ball, yeah, we harass them and joke with them and mess with them. But it's more building their confidence up that, hey, we might have dropped it this time, but you know what, next time we're going to catch it. With Albert, you know, he came back from tearing up a ligament in his knee. And I messed with him the entire time, telling him, you know, you're a gimp, you got a brace on your knee. But at the same time, he dropped one of the balls at state, and I messed with him and joked with him. But at the end of the day, it's still to be able to look at it and go, hey, I grew from this, I got better. The sport itself is a minor portion of what we want the athletes to do.
It's, so the entire person is developed through Special
yes.
Olympics. It is a misnomer to think that it is purely an athletic kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay. I hate to get into research here, and we're not into the numbers and all that, but kind of back to that success story thing we were talking about there, to see that personal growth on the part of the participants, of the athletes on that. And anyone share anything about that, of a person that maybe came into the program with maybe minimal social abilities, and you watch them grow and bloom and blossom as they participated in the various sports and they interacted with other athletes and with the coaches and the mentors and all that. Can you think of anybody? It just, and I don't need names, of course, but just a situation that really pops to mind. I think, boy, I remember that person and what they did. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, so I have one athlete that I particularly like Paul said earlier, you meet one athlete and then you begin to meet the rest of the team. So I met this athlete and he really couldn't even speak to me. He kind of just calls me Meatloaf all day.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. He just lists a bunch of food and I happen to be Meatloaf. So he must have had that for dinner or something. And so it started off like that. And now he doesn't like attending practices without me. His parents actually came up to me and told me, or I talked about this earlier, that he looks up to you as a mentor and he's never had someone like this. You're actually like a big brother to him. And that opened me up and that changed my perspective on my entire life, and it changed my perspective of Special Olympics. He has grown. He actually does very well for his team now. He was kind of the hunch on the team, but now he's one of the leaders on his team.
Okay. And you see that all the time, Daniel?
Yeah. Every practice. I attend all practices, so I see a lot. I can't really think of a particular moment. I just know they all grow. Like, most of them have known each other for a long time. So, I mean, they just continue to grow together and individually, like I said. But I can't really think of a specific person. I have my little favorites, you know, that I joke around with and everything, my favorite athletes that, you know, always come to me, hey, coach, and everything. So, but yeah, they all grow. They all learn.
You hit on something good, though, Daniel.
Oh, I did.
And that is breaking out of the isolation because, let's face it, you know, we all sometimes feel isolated. For folks who have developmental challenges, that isolation can be, I mean, absolutely devastating. It can be so profound because who else is like me? And then when you're with a lot of folks who you can relate to directly, that has to be life-changing, Paul.
Oh, yes. My life was changed on it just based on seeing how everyone else has grown. And it made me want to be a better person. I don't think I answered your question.
No, but you answered it in this way. It's not just the athletes that are changed by the Special Olympics. Everyone who is touched by this program in one way, shape, form, or fashion, Danielle,
if
gets
I
changed.
Can add to that. Yeah, like I said, actually interning with Special Olympics, but after like a month or two into it, I figured out I wanted it to be my career. So I'm actually planning on working with Special Olympics long term for forever.
Really?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow. I actually have an interview today with Special Olympics Arizona. So
no kidding.
Yeah,
this is breaking news. I like that.
So, yeah. So it's very – I mean, I've always been that type of person to be active in the community and volunteer, you know, be that selfless person. So it's great. I don't know. I love it.
Yeah, to be able to do that two times and combine those two things you said, athletics and the need to serve.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Boom. That's right. You're going to miss a good person here, Albert.
Yeah, I do.
And she's not even gone yet. But
well, you have to come to practice to miss her.
I do have to come to practice, but I also do.
Have to work.
Yeah. That's the only thing getting my way.
Where are you working now, Albert?
I work at Coca-Cola.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. They're in Commonwealth, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know exactly where that is. We pass by there all the time. So you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's work.
Yeah, it's work. But that's important, too. There are a lot of folks who don't have the opportunity for employment. Mm-hmm. And that's another facet of this entire thing where people can go from maybe not having those kinds of opportunities to saying, hey, I can do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, if I can do Special Olympics, I can do just about anything.
Yes, sir.
And that's another big part of this whole thing. If you're just joining us, by the way, again, 414-1234 for Perspectives, talking about the Special Olympics program here in Leon County with a lot of events coming up, many opportunities to take part in supporting the program. And something else going on that you need to be aware of is that you can even just volunteer your time. It doesn't cost you a penny except the gas to get there to take part in the various teams that they have set up in the various sports that are part of the Special Olympics program. And for those folks who are just joining us right now, again, guys, contact information. When people say, that's kind of cool, I need to check that out. What do they do?
You can go to the Special Olympics webpage. If you go to specialolympics.org or specialolympicsflorida.org, and then you can type in the search bar to it to go to Leon County specifically. On the bottom of it, there's a phone number to call that take you to the office, or there's an email. If you're part of the university, you can go through the registered RSOs, or you can go to Facebook, and then we also have an email specific for the SO College or the outreach itself.
Okay. SO College being what?
It's Special Olympics College. It's a new initiative that Special Olympics Florida was putting out, and it started with Project Unify, which was school-based, and now they're pushing into the colleges to have universities throughout the country. And as Doug said about trying to even get the intramurals to be involved, it's to get the athletes onto campus and have all of the college students being involved to get the whole community, not just people that aren't in schools.
I'm thinking when you have preeminent athletic programs like Florida State and FAMU, which is now firmly in rebuilding mode, but you know, coming back, how huge would that be for folks like Albert and Cyrus and some of the other athletes there when you would have, I mean, world-class collegiate athletes coming and helping out? That would be really cool.
I mean, just our athletes alone, that's all they ever want to talk about are the athletes that we have, either, you know, if they're an Alabama fan or the ones that are Florida State fans or UF fans. They talk about those colleges all the time and those athletes at those sports. And to get involved with the university, you can have them then show up and just come to a practice and talk. And, I mean, it would mean the world to the athletes.
Around 50% of them wear their jerseys to practice for their FSU favorite player.
Yes. And when we go on trips, when we go to states, all we talk about is Florida State versus the Gators all the time, or Alabama, always. You can – every practice, we're going at it.
Yeah, we can't talk about the Buckeyes.
Hey, man, Leon County is an Ohio State county. I don't care what you say, Albert.
Well, full disclosure here, I went to FSU, but not this one. I went to Frostburg State University. Go Bobcats. But that is an opportunity, too. I'm thinking, boy, for all of the players and Sue Semro's group and the FSU women's soccer team, and again, champions all to have them come out and just, if nothing else, hang out at a practice. What a motivator is that?
Well, I think Danielle's been setting it up to have at the middle of at halftime for one of the men's basketball games to even have our athletes just recognized. And it's something that, you know, she's been taking, you know, charge of lately to do this.
Yeah, I've been in contact with a lady at Florida State, and we're trying to get our athletes that are going to states to be recognized at halftime for like the halftime show. And that would also, you know, promote us, and hopefully maybe people would want to come out and volunteer. But I think that might be something else I work on this semester as Miss Intern, trying to see if I can get sports team or something to come out and get involved, like with soccer or some track and field. Because, you know, I'm a sports management, so I know a lot of people that do athletics at Florida State. So I might call around, see what I can find.
You got some inside connections
there.
Yeah,
I got some inside. It's all about networking. Yes.
And as far as fraternities, sororities, that type of thing too, Doug, that's another phenomenal, in many cases, untapped resource. Because I know a lot of those folks, and they're always looking for worthy causes to get involved with here.
Exactly. So. As a fraternity member, it feels like we're always trying to find philanthropic events. We're always trying to find the next big thing, whether it's Dance Marathon. We actually just had an event called Dig the Beach. I'm wearing the shirt right now. We had a volleyball tournament with all the sororities, and then we had the Special Olympics volleyball team come out and play against our brothers, which was a great time, and we raised a lot of money and donated some to Special Olympics.
And, so, they beat you into submission?
They did beat us. They did. They did beat us. They were all a lot better than we were, and we actually had the volleyball court in the back of our house. It was sand, and it was a really great time.
Yeah.
Well, so much people can do in this area, and we do have a very giving community, as we found out multiple times through this program and other initiatives that are out there. All you got to do is just give people a chance to get involved with something and say, hey, this is your chance to give back for all the wonderful things that this community has given, and it's a wonderful opportunity here. Can't think anything better than Special Olympics to do that. One final thing here, folks, if you would be so kind to go around, and I'll kind of lead off with you here, Albert. If you could give us maybe your very, very favorite memory of Special Olympics. I know you got a bunch of them, but try to just share one of them. Huh?
Well, the most favorite one that I like is when they actually flew me to New Jersey for nationals. And that's when I won my two big gold medals. And I'm actually holding the time for the 800 and the 400 still as we speak. And yeah, it was a phenomenal thing. You know what I mean? We raced at Princeton University. And it was a lot of people across from the USA there, whatnot, you know what I mean? So it was just a great time that I had. And my head coach was from Miami, Florida. And, yeah, it was, we had the biggest team there, and as far as the Florida team. We had the biggest team there.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of a national record holder. Congratulations, Albert. That is
Thank you. Terrific.
Danielle, share your thoughts.
Well, I'm a big basketball fan. It's my favorite sport. So basketball season is my favorite because I coach and I play as a unified partner. I really do it all when it comes to basketball season. So that's where I love practice Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm ready to work and ready to coach and make jokes and have fun and learn and continue to grow as a team and individually. So I would say basketball season. Last year I didn't get to go to states with the team, but they did win gold, so that was good. I had something else I had to take care of. But this year I'll be going next weekend, so hopefully we'll win gold, and that will be my ultimate memory of Special Olympics in Leon County.
We'll be rooting for you, and good luck also with the aspirations to take it to the next level here.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Doug.
Mine has to be when I was playing against Albert in basketball a few weeks ago and I hit a buzzer beater on him. No, I'm just kidding. One of my favorite times was that same day when we came out as a team for Unified Partners, and we definitely had like the biggest and definitely probably the best team. And me and another partner decided this team kept losing to our team that we assembled, so we decided to join their team and play with them because it's not all about winning. It's about having fun and being a good sport. So we went over there and we actually gave the team that we played for running against our own team, and that uplifted all the athletes on that team and even the coaches on that team. So it changed their lives and changed ours.
God, what a great memory. And finally, Paul Mazenko.
Well, it's sad to have to still use basketball, but last year at State, our Rickards, the high school team, was playing against a team where I don't think a single player on their team was over 5 foot, and they had a bunch of guys that were 6 feet tall, and obviously they had a huge lead, and they were turning around at the end of the game, and instead of running the score up or trying to score more, they would intentionally, you know, get the rebound or let the rebound go to one of the other athletes to let them score, let them have fun with the game. And it piggybacked off that, and even when we went to State for football this year, our athletes, we were winning the first game, and instead of intentionally going in and getting the touchdown, yeah, you still play hard, but it's instead of sprinting into the end zone, you just go out of bounds. And it's the way the athletes have grown, and just you see that attitude of it's not just about let's run the score up as high as we can. They want to turn around and say, hey, these guys want to have fun too. They're out here doing everything they can. So what if they're not as good? They still need to be able to have that feeling, the confidence of it, and you don't want to just step your foot down on their throat and say, hey, we're done with you. You want to still make them want to play.
That is the definition of champions, guys, and you all are champions and big winners here. Thank you, guys. To Albert, Danielle, Doug, and Paul, thank you for coming in and talking about Special Olympics today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Lydell and Taylor have been doing the deed back there behind the glass today, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Working Well is celebrating its 10th anniversary. Had the CEO breakfast earlier this week, and a lot of big plans coming up for 2016 and beyond. We'll talk about that next week right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.